In today's episode, I want to speak specifically to Black women. Let's talk about Black women and boundaries and the fact that if you are a Black woman working in any corporate space, if you have a job, pretty much doesn't have to be like corporate America, any job, you can't afford to not have boundaries at work. Welcome to the Fulfilling Career Podcast, a show for the professional woman who's ready to work in an aligned career that allows her to thrive in her zone of genius, live on purpose, and get paid a value-aligned salary. I'm your host, Dr. Tega Edwin, and I share insights and strategies to help you reach your career goals, whether you're trying to find your fulfilling career, grow your current career, or successfully job search. Let's dive in. I was recently having a meeting with a mentee of mine a couple of weeks ago, and we had to have a conversation around boundaries. So to give some context, one of the primary reasons for this meeting was that her work effort was sliding and it was becoming noticeable by other people in the organization. So she wasn't performing like she should, and it was leading to referrals and conversations around her commitment to work and around her ability to perform. And I have context about what's going on in her life. And we had that conversation around how she had had some unexpected responsibilities pop up in other areas of her life, unexpected responsibilities that she did not say no to. Mind you, she's also a mother. She's also a mother and a caregiver for a loved one who's struggling with mental health issues. So outside of work, before the other responsibilities came up, she already had a lot that was going on. And over the years in our relationship, I had been telling her over and over that she needed to scale back on the things she was committing to. She needed to prioritize. But she really has this, I want to do everything personality, right? Like that's, and I understand that. That used to be me. We'll talk about that a bit more here, but she has that personality. And so now it's almost like everything reached a crescendo where because she took on additional responsibilities, her primary work effort was slipping. And so she and I had to meet and have a conversation around performance and how she was going to show up and what that would look like. And during our meeting, one thing I said to her was, you know, as Black women, we can't afford to have weak boundaries at work. We just can't. We live in a society that already expects Black women to serve more than other people. They expect Black women to, you know, we talk about the superwoman, to do everything, to put everyone first, to serve. Black girls are often raised to serve everyone else but themselves. And then they grow up to become people-pleasing women, even in the workplace. Women who often find it hard to say no when things are put on their plate. Women who have consistently heard the message, you have to be twice as good to get half as much. And I have always pushed back against that mindset. And mind you, I should say, this is not without, like, I understand that, yes, I'm speaking from the American context. We live in a racist society that really does create avenues, I should say, maybe for oppression and marginalization for Black people, especially Black women at work. You know, Black women have the reality of being both Black and female, which are two identities that are often oppressed in corporate America. So that part is already there. And at the same time, as Black women, we have a smaller margin of error at work. Like there's a smaller margin of error before people start questioning your competence, before people start wondering if you're good enough, if you can do the task, if you do deserve the opportunity. And I have always been firm on the fact that Black women cannot afford to not have boundaries at work. Because when you don't have boundaries, what happens is that you're taking on more, you're taking on more, you're taking on more, whether it's from your personal life to your corporate life, whatever it may be, you're doing a lot of things that then lead to you showing up half-assed everywhere. Because you've said yes to so many things, the quality of your work output decreases, the quality of your personhood showing up in your personal life decreases, the quality of your spiritual life even maybe decreases. And so because you're not actually showing up in excellence everywhere, now your professional reputation is being impacted, your self-esteem is being impacted, your belief in yourself and your ability is being impacted, everything gets impacted. And, you know, anybody listening to this can probably take from this, but I am speaking specifically to Black women because we have a smaller margin of error. When you keep saying yes, even if you're saying yes because you think you need to be a team player, or you're saying yes because you think if you say no, then they'll think you're not a team player or that you're not good enough, you have to pause and really think about your primary objective. What is the actual thing? What are the actual tasks that you are going to be evaluated and assessed on? What are the actual outputs that you are responsible for delivering at work? What are you going to be evaluated on at your mid-year, end-of-year reviews? What is your bonus or your salary contingent upon? Your primary tasks need to always be given priority. And if other things are being added to your plate, you need to develop the ability to assess everything that's happening in every aspect of your life, personal, private, whatever it may be. And before you say yes to any opportunity, ask yourself, can I still operate in excellence with everything that is already on my plate? If the answer is no, you don't need to be adding anything else, regardless of who's asking or who or how it's going to benefit you or whatever it may be. And I'm saying that because a lot of times what I've noticed is the reason why you keep violating your own boundaries and you keep saying yes to more and more things is that, again, you're afraid that people will think you're not a team player if you say no. But in being a team player, how does it benefit you to be a team player if you start doing worse at your actual job and then people start questioning your ability to do your actual job? That's ultimately what I want you to think about, is how does it impact your professional reputation when you stop showing up in excellence because you put too many things on your plate? And sometimes it might actually be that it was your manager who's asking you to do something, and you're worried that if you say no to this one thing, it will, in fact, impact your performance review. And if that's the case, I want you to do something that I often coach my clients to do, which is ask your manager to prioritize for you. So what does that sound like? You already know you have a full plate of things that you're working on. Your manager comes to you and says, hey, I want you to take this on. And then your response is, if you know that you're already, you're like, I have too many things going on already. And your response to your manager can sound something like, I would love to take that on. Here are the 5 things I'm currently working on, A, B, C, D, E, and F. Which of these would you like me to deprioritize to prioritize, you know, G thing that you're giving me right now? Right. Which of these things should I take off so that I can take this on? Here are the 5 things I'm working on. And I know you told me the last time we met that this one was a priority because of this. So if you'd like me to take this on, what should I deprioritize so that I can focus on this new task? Put that on them. Because what might happen is then, yes, maybe they'll tell you, hey, take off B and C. Those are not priorities, so you can do this. Or they might say, actually, all 5 of those things are priority. Leave this new task already. Sometimes people forget what you're already working on. They're not keeping track of your own capacity and your own ability and what you're doing. You're the one who's responsible for that. So when you get asked to do something else, make it clear what you're already working on and ask, okay, what do you want me to add? What do you want me to remove? And then when you have that meeting with your manager, make sure you then follow up in writing. I just wanted to recap from our conversation today. You told me to deprioritize B and C so that I can focus on F, along with A and B. It is so important for you to recognize that it is your job to uphold your boundaries. It's not anybody else's job to respect them. We all have things that we're dealing with in our lives. We all have things that we're working on. People are not keeping track of what you are doing. Your manager is not keeping track of what you're doing. Your loved ones probably are not keeping track of what you're doing. And so if you have a boundary in place of whether it's no work at a certain time, get this thing done before taking something else on, weekend is family time, whatever those are. Remember that boundaries are in place for you to perform optimally. You should create boundaries so that you can perform better. And because nobody else is tracking your boundaries, it is up to you to keep track of your capacity and to uphold your boundaries when something comes along that is attempting to violate that boundary. You put the boundary up for a reason. And so you can't expect people to automatically prioritize your needs and put you first. and assume that they want you to do well. And so when they give you a task or ask you to take something on, you assume, oh, it's for my benefit, it's for my good, and you just do it without pausing and asking yourself, do I actually have the space, the capacity, mental, physical, intellectual, whatever it is, to take this on while still performing optimally? Because again, let me repeat, Black women cannot afford to not have boundaries. When you start violating your own boundaries, when you start letting other people violate your boundaries, you lose the capacity to function optimally, which means you start making mistakes at work, you start forgetting things, you start turning in subpar work. And then it's now almost a self-fulfilling prophecy. You took something on so people wouldn't say you weren't good at your job, but because you took something on, you had less capacity to actually work on everything else. And so you actually started doing bad work, and now your reputation is sullied because people are saying you're not good at your job. It's a vicious cycle. And let me say here that, you know, at the beginning of this process, establishing boundaries is never a comfortable thing. Again, especially for most women, because you're socialized to put other people first. You're socialized to think about other people and to put the good of the order, the good of the group first. And so when you set a boundary, it can feel selfish. It can feel like you're not thinking of other people. It can feel like you're not being considerate. But as you start to establish boundaries and you recognize that, oh, when I put this boundary in place, I actually show up better. I actually perform better. You'll start to realize that, hold up, when I am not burnt out, when I am not drained, everybody else benefits because I show up in excellence. Your boundaries work not just for you, but for everybody else, because now you're doing good work. You're showing up fully present, fully ready to do the work. You're able and capable, and you have all the tools that you need at your disposal, whether it's, again, cognitive, spiritual, emotional, physical. You're there. You're present. So while it can feel selfish at the beginning, once you establish the boundary and you actually start holding it and doing work and showing up for people, what you'll start to recognize is that it's the opposite of selfish. Everybody else benefits when you are fulfilled. Everybody else benefits when you are rested. Everybody else benefits when you are feeling good and confident about yourself. Your team benefits at work. Your family benefits at home. Your friends benefit in your personal life. Because you're not showing up haphazardly, drained, overwhelmed, helter-skelter, forgetting things, forgetting special moments. That's not happening because you have put things in place to ensure that you always have space and room to rest and recharge. So yes, it will feel awkward, it will feel selfish, but you should still do it. Because in the long run, if you don't establish those boundaries, your work output will suffer, your reputation will suffer, and then you become, I'm doing air quotes here, the Black woman who can't hack it, the thing you were afraid of being in the first place. You end up in that place when you don't uphold your own boundaries. Now, one thing about me, and I've had literally two different supervisors have commented on being impressed with my boundaries. And I always choose to take it as a compliment. Like, there might be a sense of, actually, I think I remember one supervisor actually clearly said, I remember she said this to me. She said, you know, sometimes it can be annoying when I establish a boundary, but she really respects how I do it. And that's the funny thing about people is, you know, people might make comments about your boundaries and talk about it, but secretly they envy your ability to do that. And for me, it was because I'm in academia, what happened was the way it works, we have a third year review. I mean, so every year I have conversations with my supervisor, right? But there's a more formal third year review process. And as a faculty member, there are three main things I'm responsible for, like my job, right? It's doing research, teaching, and doing service. And service is, you know, serving on committees, leading programs. Like right now, I'm the coordinator of our doctoral program. I coordinate our student placement. Right, so everything else is service. And we have a more official review after the third year. I remember getting the comment that I was doing a lot of service and not enough research. And research is the most important part of our, like, if you don't have research, you're not getting tenured, point blank, period. Like, it's the most important part. Now, in case you're new in these parts, I did get tenured this year. Yay, as of recording this, there's an episode way back when, called Career Lessons from Getting Tenured. You should check that out because I talk about some more of my own personal journey to getting tenured. But you know, shoot back 3 years ago, I got that comment that I was doing too much service. And it stuck with me. It stuck with me because I came into this job knowing that Black people, Black women especially, are often sort of pigeonholed into service roles because everybody's looking for the token Black person to serve on their committees. And I was dedicated to not falling into that trap. So when I got that feedback, it hit home and I switched up. I started saying no to things left, right, and center. I don't care if nobody else can do it. Guess what? It's not going to be me because I got research to do and I'm already doing enough service. Like, that was my mindset for like 2 years straight. I was saying no. Like, if I was not already on a committee, if I was not already committed, and if I didn't have a genuine interest or passion for the project, the answer was immediately no. With a straight face. I'm not here to be at the service of our organization, but I'm already at the service because I'm already serving on committees, right? It's like I've already done, like I'm already doing what I need to do. There's no reason why I need to go above and beyond when there are clear-cut metrics for what it takes to be successful. And that's why I said earlier, what is your primary responsibility? What is the thing that actually impacts the judgment of your work process? I knew that for me, my research had to be on point. I needed to be doing research and submitting research. I knew that I needed to be teaching well, being there for my students, being responsive. Those are the main things that would have kept me from tenure. I knew my primary responsibilities. And so it was like, okay, head down, get the research out there. And if this committee is going to get in the way of that, the answer is no. If this program is going to get in the way of that, the answer is no. Because I'm not going to be assessed on how much service I'd like. Like, doing a lot of service was not going to get me tenure if my research was not on par. So if you are someone who struggles to set boundaries at work, struggles to say no to things, I want to invite you to just pause and ask yourself, first of all, why? What are you truly afraid of? What do you think will happen if you start saying no to things? And then ask yourself, second, what is your primary responsibility at work? What are your key performance indicators? What is the thing that you need to do well to keep your job, to get promoted, to get a raise, to get a bonus? What are you responsible for? That's your priority. Then assess everything else you're doing and what are you doing that you don't need to be? What are you doing that you took on just because nobody else said they would? And ask yourself, like, why did they say they wouldn't do it? And you're the one who said yes. What, like, what makes them special over you? And what are the differences? Are those white colleagues? Are they white male colleagues that said no? Why are you then, Black woman, the one who said yes or the one who this got relegated to do? You can't underestimate the power of people's unconscious bias, where people will assign things to you, not recognizing that they assume that you should be the one to do it because you're a woman and because you're a Black woman, that you would just do it, right? It's like when, like, we've heard the story of women in boardrooms being relegated to service roles, like, cut the cake, bring the coffee. And it's like, no, I'm the CEO, you go cut the cake. Like, just because I'm a woman doesn't mean I'm going to get into this caretaking role that you assume I'm going to go into. And oftentimes as women, as Black women, we can unconsciously fall into that caretaking role at work, which is why we are saying yes to things everybody else said no to, because, oh, since nobody else is going to do it, I'm just going to do it for the good of the team. Girl, it's not your job to do things for the good of the team. It's your job to do excellent work while being still considerate. But again, if your plate is already full, you're being inconsiderate to yourself when you don't establish boundaries. Now, like, it's a fine line between selfishness and smart decision making. It's a fine, because as I'm saying this, I'm consciously thinking about my faith, right? And how as Christians, we are called to serve people, right? So I'm weighing that in my head, which is why you're hearing me slow down a certain parts, because I'm weighing all of that in my head. And it's like, if your plate is full, taking on things, at that point, you're actually being selfish because you're taking it on to look like you're a team player. But again, you're not going to do the thing well. So why not just leave it for somebody else who will do it well so that you can do what's already on your plate well? Focus on the things that have already been assigned to you. Focus on the responsibilities you already have and do those in excellence. Get those off your plate before you add more things onto your plate. Okay? So at this point, I feel like if I keep going, I'm just going to get on a soapbox. But let me just reiterate, Black woman, you cannot afford to not have boundaries at work. Because when you don't have boundaries, you take on too many things. And when you take on too many things, your work output decreases in quality. And when your work output decreases in quality, your professional reputation suffers. That's essentially the message I wanted to deliver in today's episode. Your professional reputation ends up suffering because you thought you could do everything and ended up doing nothing well. So that's today's episode. I hope you found it helpful. It was a quick off-the-cuff. I really wanted to share this because it was on my heart after that conversation. I hope you found it helpful. I would love to continue the dialogue with you. If this resonated, slide in my DMs on Instagram. I'm at hercareerdoctor over there. I would love to hear what resonated with you. What have you been struggling with when it comes to boundaries? What are you taking away from this episode? I would love to hear it. And if you found it helpful, don't forget to leave us a rating or a review on whatever platform you're listening. Your ratings help the podcast grow. So thanks again for listening to this episode, and I will catch you in the next episode.